Okay, welcome to the Social Media Church podcast. We are actually streaming this live on Facebook Live on our page. Yeah, a little inception. I like that. We're using the Zoom webinar feature. There's some integration that I used with my community a week ago, and I really liked it. So this is where we're kicking it off. So hey, Nils, have you done like an interview on Facebook Live like this yet?
First time. I saw you do it, and I was like, Jay, how are you doing that? And you're like, oh, it's pretty cool, Zoom webinars. And I'm like the Zoom guy. Like, I feel like I have like introduced everybody to Zoom, and I didn't know about this feature. So I'm pretty pumped about it.
Sweet. And you're in New York, right?
I'm in New York today.
Yeah. So we're doing coast to coast again, like the good old days.
I missed you, Jay. I think it's our first time in 2017 to be on a webinar together or a podcast together.
So before we get in, we're gonna talk about Instagram and a Facebook Live and a couple other things. And you got a toy, you got something cool in New York. But my friends were, my cousin actually was harassing me because they saw my webinar. So the only thing with Zoom webinar that I'm still trying to get with Facebook Live, I'm trying to get used to, is that you can Facebook Live directly to a page of yours that you're an admin, but you can't. And your personal wall, but you can't do it in a group. And I was trying to do it in a group. So I Facebook Live to my private, my own account, and I shared it in a group. So a bunch of my family, different people saw it. And so one of my cousins was teasing me about like, ooh, webinar guy.
For those of you who are watching on Facebook Live, because this is a new feature, you can actually live ask us questions right now, and we'll respond as a part of the podcast. So as that new functionality, let's take advantage of that.
I know. I'm really, this is fun. I know we're doing it like late at night, but yeah. No. Yeah. Okay. So to kick it off, let's talk about, there's a story that came out today that I saw that Snapchat was down from anywhere between 15 to 40%. That has stuff to do with them going, I think it was going public there, the IPO, like there's something going on there. So there's data that's coming out, and they're saying that Instagram is stealing its thunder. How about that? What?
We have wondered about that. And our friend Daniel Hall posted recently, I saw that he said Instagram stories have surpassed the engagement or the traffic of Snapchat in just a short time frame of how long they were. And it took Snapchat so long to build this audience and really own an audience. I mean, they really own that younger audience. I'll be honest, Jay, I've been kind of testing a little bit. I've been doing it since it started, but like, I feel like I'm a lot of people missing, you know, on Snapchat, and a lot more people doing Instagram stories. And then the data is backing that up, that perception up. So it's an interesting shift in the world of social media right now.
I've been one of the last holdouts where I haven't really jumped on Instagram stories. And definitely when I saw that, I felt like, you know, I kind of felt like it was Monty Python, you know, it's like, you know, taking off an arm, you know, they're still trying to fight, you know, and it's like, it's so interesting how quick, like it's just one thing is big and then the other thing becomes big, but it just shows, I think that's why, you know, something we talk a lot about on this podcast is always be messing around with other things, especially new things. Doesn't mean you have to jump ship and go to that, but be aware of it because you might turn the corner and all of a sudden, you know, you don't want to be like the person still in MySpace, but was so anti-Facebook. You know what I mean? You don't want to be that person. So be somebody who's open to change. You know, we're not saying change your theology, but we're saying change your methodology and experiment, mess around, create it. And just being aware of Instagram stories is just helpful.
I would say too, for those people that felt like, or are feeling like, man, you guys told me we should be doing Snapchat and now everybody's leaving Snapchat. Did I waste my time? You know, like were you wasting my time doing that? And the reality of everyone who used Snapchat, even if Snapchat does continue to decline, and we don't know that it would, it's maybe right now with the competitive nature of it. But we learned how to use this kind of functionality in this different style that's helping us on Instagram stories. So it's not wasted in any way. Yeah. It's just learning a new way to use these new interesting mediums. Yeah. But yeah, it's all very interesting. And the trend will be really interesting to see. Snapchat had a chance to sell to Facebook and they chose not to. How this all plays out. And then the other side is Twitter is kind of this continued unknown. Where is that going to go in the next year? Is Jack Dorsey going to stick around? Are they going to sell? Are they ever going to figure out how to make money? But obviously people are, you know, I mean, Trump drew so much attention to it. And it's like, can they ever figure out how to monetize all these eyeballs?
Yeah, I saw an article on Mashable today where it said, should Twitter ban Trump? Which, you know, which would be crazy. But, you know, even they were even saying like, not to do it. But it was like, I'm in a couple of Facebook groups of like church leaders. And I remember I saw this question today. Can we just have an honest conversation? Is Twitter even worth the investment? That was another church leader at another church asking other church leaders, are you investing? And a lot of the conversation was around, it's only super helpful in real time, during events, like during a service. That's when it's most helpful, but not necessarily like Monday through Friday. You know, maybe it's only really good. And I would say for the most part, that's pretty true.
Yeah.
So, okay. Pivot. You got, that's the name of a TV show, a crowdsourcing TV show by John Levitt. I have that stored in my brain. You got a new toy.
My wife got a new toy that I bought today in New York. These are the new Snapchat spectacles. I've wanted these. Last time I was in New York, I tried to go get them. It was a ridiculous line. It was right before Christmas. And so I went to it's a really sweet spot right there on Fifth Avenue by the Apple store. And I couldn't get them. I mean, they were sold out. That day, you get wristbands, you wait in this long line. It was ridiculous. Today, I go up there probably about 8:30, and I had dinner. I was having dinner down the street. And so I was like, oh, I'll see what the line's like, see if I can go grab a pair. I walk up, there's about 10 Snapchat employees that are just standing around doing nothing. And I'm like, is it closed already? Like, what's happening here? And I just walked in. And they're like, sir, we'll let you go to the front of the line. They kind of chuckled. There's nobody else in line. There are two vending machines. I will say it was the coolest experience. I was in a rush to go to dinner. I wish I could have paid more attention. They're like, oh, go ahead and try them on. And they had basically the Snapchat glasses on my face in the screen in front of me, and I could try on the different colors virtually. And so it was a really fun, unique experience from a vending machine standpoint. So I have not opened them. My wife will open them back to Dallas. So this is her gift. We're actually going to Disneyland next week for the eChurch Summit.
Yes.
She's just so excited about using these there. My wife is the Snapchat queen. She loves it. She thinks I'm dumb and I'm lame for being all of her Instagram stories. I think she's going to be left behind on Snapchat. and so we will see who's right and who's wrong. And she also wanted the coral, I don't know, teal maybe, colored ones. And so I was kind of hoping to try them out a little bit. I will only be trying them out at home, not in public. And so, but I'm excited to play with them. So it'll be a fun new toy.
That's sweet. That's a cool, it's interesting. It would have been a funny, screen, like get a little pic of when that story came out and nobody's in the shop, you know, kind of thing. But I love it. Again, people that I love seeing on Facebook Live. We got all these people joining us: Jason, Justin, Daniel. Daniel Hall just joined. I know when Daniel Hall joins because he always does the wow emoji on everything I post. That's his classic. Anyways,
Daniel makes me happy. I just like hear his name and I'm like, I'm happier just knowing that he is somehow connected.
So, which side note, I got to tell you that it is so interesting having church content and watching all the emotional reactions now that they have on Facebook. It kind of seemed a little cartoonish at first, but I definitely find myself using those more, and it's more part of my like response. I don't know. Do you like them? Do you like doing the wow and the sat, like, or are you just the classic like person or love?
I would say I stick to three. I do the like, love, or the sad.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I don't go far outside of that, but I do like that those options are out there. And I think it adds a lot to the Facebook Live story as well. So, or just the experience. So it is fun. I think they still need to mature a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fun.
I don't know why all of Facebook's emojis kind of look like adult versions of like Japanese anime. Like it just looks like they've matured a little. Like they kind of like have this look. Like even like I remember their stickers and their messenger. I'm like, these look weird. It looks like I'm playing Yu-Gi-Oh, and I'm a middle school student. I don't know what in the world. Anyways,
from a design standpoint, has always been 5 years behind. Mm. Like they have not ever been. Like Snapchat is all about kind of pushing the limits, and they bought emoji, and you know, so many different aspects to the financial. Facebook always stays behind, but yet they still own the market. Maybe that's intentional.
So the, you know, one thing that I wanted to talk about with Facebook Live, actually, because I was actually just talking to a ministry about this. Daniel's blowing up our, he's the one engaging with us right now, which is, so Chattanooga. So the one thing with Facebook Live, so churches are doing Facebook Live more and more, obviously they're broadcasting services. We've been trying to broadcast our service for the last couple of weeks, and we're kind of getting bogged down in rights and different thing of music, and we're pushing through some of that stuff. I know I've seen a lot of churches more and more do this, but my question is, so like I've been big, and I know a lot of, like you do this when you talk to ministries at Dunham & Company, is this idea of like having a kind of a narrative, a scheduling calendar of your social media posts. Now, my question is, I've seen ministries have like a Facebook Live event and then an hour later, another post. Yep. I've always understood it and really recommend that Facebook's algorithm really hurts you if you post right after, because once you, it's kind of like momentum. Once you post the second post, you kill the momentum. So my question is, is that true from your experience? And the second thing, how much of a gap do you think you need to have in between posts, and specifically a Facebook Live post and your next post?
Good question. So our recommendation to clients is to leave a 3 to 5 hour gap after a really significant post. So to try to avoid posting again any kind of content within 3 to 5 hours of the most recent post. But that depends on how often you regularly post. Some ministries will post 10 times a day. So a 3 hour gap is huge. Some ministries post 2 to 3 times a day, just depending. Well, a 5 hour gap isn't that big a deal to them. But the minute you post again, or the second you post again, we see it just from an engagement standpoint, that there's a decline then of how many impressions that last post got, unless you're boosting it. You know, unless you're boosting. Yeah. I think boost is when you kind of get more long tail engagement out of a post. But yeah, so 3 to 5 hours is what we have monitored. I would say, because of the algorithm, we don't really know exactly how it works. It's kind of based on intuition and just trying to monitor it as closely as we can, but that's the recommendation we give to clients.
No, I like that. I like that a lot. Now, so the last thing, and then we can digress on Facebook Live as much as we want. But TV app right now. So we've been rocking and rolling with TV app, Dot Church, and there's so much rolling, and we just finished up a big part of what we've been working on for the last, you know, 6 to 10 months, really, is that now you can get Apple TV, Amazon Fire, Roku, and you can have real-time analytic data from Google Analytics on all three platforms. Yep. And so we've been killing it. I mean, do you still want to work with me this next year? Is my question.
Jay, seriously? Like, I feel like we've told the story over and over again. It has been like our relationship has just been fun. You know, to be honest, I remember still meeting you many years ago in your office when we were just kind of both getting into the church online world. And then, you know, like literally having dinner at your house with DJ and you saying, I'd love to do the podcast too. When he was like, I'm handing off the podcast to Nils, and it was like, sweet, let's do that together. You know, and then a year ago, you're like, man, we were both like, man, we paid a lot of money for TV apps, and churches need this kind of technology. We've got to be able to do something. And we did something, you know, like, but I would say we learned a lot of things. I mean, we learned this is hard, you know, like we couldn't have, it was worth the money we spent as churches on the TV apps we got. I mean, it's really hard work building a TV app. We've learned that. We also know that we built an unbelievable, and I say we have a team, you know, who has built, but we have really, we've had to wrestle through concepts. We've had to wrestle through technology developments, what priorities to do. Yeah. And it's crazy to look at the product that we now have and the basically the ministries we are empowering. And Jay, we just shared, we just posted on our Facebook page, that video with Mountain Lake Church in Atlanta, who is using, they're giving Amazon Fire TV sticks to the prisons in the Georgia area, and they're having church in prison because of this technology. It's unbelievable what's possible in the ministry that's enabling. So it's such a blessing for me, and it's been so fun. But I think what's really exciting for us, and we also had our first Spanish app launch a month or so ago. We have apps being downloaded all over the world of ministries, large ministries and small churches, less than 100 that are using this technology, and large ministries, you know, that are reaching millions using the technology. And we've made it. We wanted it to be affordable. We wanted it to be flexible. We wanted it to be powerful. You and I, we're just looking at all these different templates. Almost every TV app that we launched doesn't look like the other TV app. And they can change it. If they don't like the way it looks today, they can change it tomorrow without a new app update. It's so exciting. I'm sorry I'm rambling. I kind of got on the soapbox.
No.
It's been such a ride, Jay. But I would say, too, it's been fun for you and I, you know, to even take basically this podcast is you and I having a conversation out loud and inviting other people to listen in on our conversation and invite others into the conversation. And then this conversation led to, we saw a need in the church that nobody else was meeting. And we did something about it. And I feel like we've done a dang good job and we're seeing such great things. And we know that we're not done developing, you know, that we have so many ideas for where this is going, but where it is right now, churches can do so much ministry through this, for small groups, to reach prisons, to reach community centers, to reach living rooms. It's endless, the possibilities, and it's affordable, powerful, and flexible.
And what I got to say is that you guys, so go to tvapp.church. You can see more about what does it take to get up. Also, we have a link on there of that video that we're talking about here in that church, share how they're leveraging, is super powerful. But you can get on one app, one TV app for just $75 a month, no startup. And I feel like I'd say that a lot and people are like, what? I was talking to someone, they're like, there's no startup? And I'm like, no. Like, we are like trying to give this as much as we can. I mean, there's obviously cost in developing apps and hosting apps, but we are trying to just kill it and we're trying to really help ministries get on these apps. So $75 a month on, if you just want to get on Apple TV, we have a really cool option and there's some really cool stuff that you can do with it. It's a powerful, flexible system, like you were saying. So go to,
I want to speak to, like, in my old role, just to give perspective to that. And I'm really a promoter. So we're not salespeople, but you and I don't remember how much you paid, but I paid $18,000 for our first TV app. And then it was $150 an hour for any changes I needed to make. Yeah. From a development perspective. And that's not expensive in this world. Does that make sense? For custom technology development, that's what you pay. And we got our money's worth out of that technology. But that's where I get so excited is we're talking about zero. So 18 grand to zero, you know, and then that $250 a month for three platforms or $75 a month for one. When I wanted a second platform, I paid another 15 grand for the second platform. Does that make sense? And the still development cost, it was not free setup. I feel so great about what we're offering. And I just hope every church will take advantage of this because it's, we're built to scale. And I believe we can help any church of any size help, you know, reach millions.
Well, jump up. So go to tvapp.church, check it out. Go jump on those devices and download our apps. We got some links in there. Check out Mountain Lake Church, great church, or the Social Media Church podcast app. We got it on all the platforms. So guys, thanks so much for listening, watching this week. I know that this was our first experiment with Facebook Live, and I love seeing all the engagement of people jumping in. Next time we won't do it at like midnight Eastern time and 9 PM Pacific time. So for everything else, go to socialmedia.church to learn more about the show and check out tvapp.church.